Greetings again in the precious name of Christ. Blessing to be gathered together. Blessing to be able to open God's Word again and to see what God has for us this evening. I was reminded this evening that how the Spirit has worked in the thoughts of Brother David and myself, and that we just had a very good introduction to the message tonight, message on faith. Yes, Brother David and I visited together today, but we did not discuss this. That was the work of the Spirit. God has this for us this evening. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I've taken the title, my thoughts, for the title out of verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Tonight we want to talk about obtaining a good report. What happened? Why or how was it possible for the elders to obtain a good report? Is it possible for us? Well, for by what? Well, by faith. Verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have you ever wondered why he didn't use a little more plain language and exactly, you know, say it in the way we could easily understand it? But it describes faith very well. Faith is when a person believes what he cannot see. It becomes as real to him as if he actually saw and handled it. That's faith. Right? When a person believes what he cannot see, it becomes as real to him as if he actually saw and handled it. Okay, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And for by this faith the elders obtained a good report. So what does it mean to obtain a good report? Well, the word report means a good witness. For by it the elders obtained a good witness. A witness of the power, or the witness of and a living testimony of the power of God. Okay, that's what these elders obtained. They were witnesses of and a living testimony of the power of God. How important is faith? Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know what the word impossible means? The word impossible means that you're not able to. Okay? That's pretty simple, isn't it? You are not able to please God without faith. Because he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Why would you have faith in somebody that you don't believe in? Right? So, step number one is you got to believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That diligently seek Him. Do you find God that way? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is, because God is faithful. He has promised to be that. And because God is faithful, He will. If we diligently seek Him, He will reward us. With what? With what? Not necessarily with material things. That's not what it's talking about. Okay? It's not what it's talking about. But there are the rewards, first of all, peace. Is that a reward? Oh, absolutely. Joy. Wonderful reward. Okay? That's here already. And knowing Him gives us what? Eternal life. Isn't that what we saw yesterday? Gives us eternal life. These are tremendous rewards. Tremendous rewards. And these are promised to the ones that diligently seek Him. But without faith, you're not going to have that. And if you have faith, you're going to... By it, the elders obtained a good report. Did you know that some people trust in their faith? Does that make sense? Trusting in your faith. When they see some great happening, it's, this happened because of my faith. No. No. The trust is not in faith. The trust is in the power of God. That's what it is. Things happen because of the power of God, not because of a great faith. But sometimes God doesn't allow things to happen till people step out in faith. That may be, but it is a power of God that allows it to happen. And so, it's not the trust in our faith, but it is the trust in the power of God. And the focus of the heroes of faith in chapter 11 was of the power of God. That was the focus on the power of God. Over and over, it points back. We will look at a number of examples and then later see on how it applies to our lives and how we need to respond. But it was a focus on the power of God and how the people responded to it. How they stepped out in faith. They experienced things that probably none of us ever have. But you know what? We experience things too. We are living today. Okay? 2018. And we experience things today where our faith can be tested and will be tested and is tested. The question is, are we going to obtain a good report? Are we going to be able to be a witness of the power of God in spite of the circumstances and situations that we face? Let's look at a number of examples. There's the example of Noah. In verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah's practical example of faith was that he made his family a priority in spite of the others around him. Okay? He was moved with fear. He was not anxious. He was not worried about what was going to come. But he moved with fear because of being warned of God. And God says, this is what's going to happen. And he wasn't paranoid of what's going to happen. He had the fear of God. He had the faith of things not seen as yet. The world hadn't seen rain before. But God said it's going to rain. And Noah was concerned of his family. And he made his family a priority in spite of everyone else around him. Right? It was the only family that was saved. If there was any other godly families around, they would have been saved too. But Noah taught his family. He made that a priority. Example of faith. Abraham, in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. Not knowing whither he went. What was Abraham's vision? Again, he had a vision for his family. He taught his family with a vision for something more important than the comforts of the world. He took his family and moved out. We like to have our plan of action. We know exactly where we're going. Children ain't wondering where we're moving to. They know where we're moving to, right? But Abraham was called out and he set out in faith and God directed him. He had vision for his family for something more important than the comforts of this earth. He had that faith in God that moved him to action. He didn't say, God, let's work this thing out. Like, explain to me. He had faith and he went. Isaac and Jacob. Verse 9. It mentions Isaac and Jacob. They were dwelling there with Abraham. And in verse 20, it also mentions, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Isaac and Jacob, what we see here is the effects of Abraham's teaching coming through. These young men, they caught a vision. They caught a vision. Son and a grandson here caught a vision of grandpa and the faith that he had. The witness, the good report that came from Abraham kindled in his son and his grandson, and they too lived a life of faith. Joseph, in verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Why was it so important that that was listed here? That was the story of the Old Testament. Why is it mentioned here that about his bones, that you're supposed to take my bones along to Canaan and bury them there? There was faith in sight here. Joseph had faith that the children of Israel were going to reach the promised land. Why? Because God had promised it. It seemed so far away. And we know the story well. It just seemed like just about an impossibility. But Joseph had faith and said, look, you take my bones along and you bury them when you get there. He trusted in God that God was going to bring them to the promised land. And by that he obtained a good report. Moses, verse 25. By faith, Moses... No, that's verse 23. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? By faith, it says. Why did Moses do that? Why did Moses say no to the riches and the prestige? He, after all, could have been in line for the kingdom. He could have been. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Well, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God. But he said no to riches and prestige for what? For the sake of suffering for Christ. Sounds like faith to me, doesn't it? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Moses saw that. God had spoken, and he chose rather to suffer affliction than to have the kingdom and the wealth and the riches of Egypt. Now, that's quite a trade-off, isn't it? Quite a trade-off. Not really. Moses didn't even consider it that way. Moses didn't even consider it that way. Why did he not consider it that way? Because verse 26 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He was looking ahead for something a lot greater than the riches of Egypt. He couldn't see them, but he saw them. How did he see them? By faith. How did he have that faith? God had spoken the word and he just took God little for what he said. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. We don't see these things. Moses didn't see them. He was in the midst of suffering. But he said, you know what? God has promised greater riches. And I don't care if I need to suffer. I'm going to go for those greater riches. That is faith, my friends tonight. That is faith. All these, verse 39, all these obtain a good report through faith. Obtain a good report through faith. Receive not the promise. They didn't receive the promise of the Messiah, the dispensation of grace. They had not received that. They were still looking ahead for these things. And it was far in the distance. And they did not experience these things. But they obtained a good report. They had a witness. It's not just the good report we're reading. The kind of report we're talking about tonight and looking at, and this means here, is their witness of the power of God. Does our lives display that kind of report? Are we obtaining a good report by faith? Tonight we're not tested with some of the same things that they were tested here. Okay? We're not tested with these things. Usually when we move, we know where we're going. God directs us and we move and we know where we're going. We don't live in tents no more. Maybe we should a little closer to that, but we don't. There's many things here that we may not be faced with. How to get out of the land of Egypt, literally, like these children of Israel were. But you know what? We are tested. Our faith is tested. Do we know what God's word says about the things we're tested with? We're going to look at, just talk briefly about some of the things that we're tested with today. And you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is technology. Are we tested with that today? Is our faith tested with the pressures of technology? Yes. Yes, they are. Our faith is tested. Is technology okay? Yes, some of it is. We have accepted a lot of it. But our faith can get tested. How far are we going to go with it? What is going to be acceptable for the child of God? And probably where our faith gets tested at times is where our leaders draw a line and say, let's not go any farther than this. And some of us are going to say, why the line there? Why not over here? Our leaders have a vision. They have a vision for a good report. We're tested with technology. Maybe tested when you're on your own. Another thing that we get tested with is honesty in business. Honesty in business. Sometimes we get severely tested with honesty in various ways. But you know, if our heart is honest, okay, if our heart is honest, if our heart is panting after God, if our heart is full of faith because God has promised, and we look for the recompense of the reward, which is greater riches than what I can gain through dishonesty. Let me tell you something. If you're going to be dishonest because you want to gain something in business or your personal life, you put a whole lot more things at stake. You have a lot more to lose by being dishonest than by being honest. And as a child of God, it should not be a question in our mind, are we going to be honest? Because a child of God has an honest heart. And if the question of integrity comes up, we're going to be honest. But we're tested sometimes. Yes, I know what it's like. I was severely tested in this line. And I wondered, what do I do? But God's word is so plain. It is so plain when it comes to honesty. It was not a question anymore. But we do get tested with these things. The pressure gets on, and what are we going to yield with? The other area we get tested in, our faith gets tested in, is purity. Yes, it does. Each one of us, in some way or another, we get tested in purity. Where are we going to be? Where are we standing on that? Are we coming out with a good report, a good witness of the power of God, of rising above that and living a pure, holy life? Notice verse 35 and 36 of chapter 11. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, but that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. But yet they lived a life of faith. We don't know what the future holds for us. We live in America where it's pretty calm. And we thank God over and over for the freedom we have to worship. And let's continue to do that. And let's continue to pray that we continue to have this freedom. But friends, tonight I can't promise freedom for the next years to come. And I'm not keeping up to date what happens in the political world, but it really doesn't look good either. Okay? Our faith is bound to be tested sometime or another in the line of, how sincere am I going to be in following Christ? Am I willing to give my life for the sake of the gospel? Am I going to be true? I just recently finished reading the book Judith. How many of you are familiar with that book? Judith, about the Jewish girl that was converted? Oh, if you have opportunity, read that book. Makes the chills go up and down your back. But there was a girl that was converted from the Jewish faith to Christianity. and she was rejected, not only pushed out of the home, she was cursed by her parents and sent out of the home. But she was so dedicated to Christ, it didn't matter. And finally, her end came as a young girl. I'm thinking around in her 20s and somewhere there, after serving time after time of various people and preaching, sharing the word with them. She was finally pulled to the barn out back and her head chopped open. Why? Because she had recompense unto the reward. Her faith was tested. Is she going to stand? She never wavered. I said, how can it be? Could I be that strong when my faith gets tested and the government and whoever else says that it's time to quit preaching the word? Are we going to be, the time may easily come for us. Are we going to stand the test? You know, we sing the song Obedience, right? Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. Obedience to God's word is really the best demonstration of faith that we can have. Are we obtaining a good report? How is our faith tonight? Are we that strong? We're going to say no to anything that distracts us from Christ. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Here is a testimony of Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. A tremendous testimony of faith. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. Verse 11 says that he was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. In verse 12, for the which cause, because he was appointed these things, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He said, I am not ashamed to be called a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of my bonds. He says, why? Because I know whom I have believed. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, right? I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that the thing that I have committed unto him, he's going to keep. What is that thing? Let me tell you something. That is your very life. The thing that Paul committed to Jesus Christ was his very life. He says, I have committed my life and my future into God's hand, and I know he will keep it. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's faith. In the midst of trials that Paul faced, how strong is your faith tonight? Are you obtaining a good report? Are you obtaining a good report? Back to Hebrews 11, verse 40. It says, God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, we actually are one with them. The promises of God were not only for them back then, it is for us today as well. They did not receive the promise. Tonight we have received the promise. The Messiah has come. He's dwelling within us. The Messiah has come. And we can be strong in this faith as well. We can believe in God. Now chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And we only looked at a few of them that chapter 11 has. But we are, as God's people, we are compassed about. We are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses that obtained a good report. And they are witnesses to say that it is possible to live in faith regardless of what you experience. And so these people are telling us, and we're reading it here, and said that you too, today, the 24th of March of 2018, can live a life demonstrating God's power in spite of what you face in life. They did it, and so can we. How strong is our faith tonight? They obtained a good report through the faith in the power of God, believing that God can. Oh, not because they saw it, but because they believed it. They believed in God. So since we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's go on reading. Let us lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. Doesn't that sound pretty simple? You just go ahead and just lay the weights aside and we're going to run. But you know what? I just wish it was always that easy. I wish it was always that easy, but it isn't always. Laying aside that weight. What are weights? What are weights in our lives today? Weights are something that keeps you from growing spiritually. Okay? Weights are something that keeps you from growing spiritually and deepening your faith in Christ. Let's think of a few examples. I like to be practical so we understand what God's Word is telling us. One example of weights that may be in our lives may be books. There's nothing wrong with reading. But reading too much of the other stuff, other than God's Word. Reading is good. And reading books about the book, like I said earlier, is good. But you know what? We can read too much other stuff. Things that distract. And this could be a weight. How can that be a weight? After a while, we find out we have very little time to read God's Word. You know what? It's really not as interesting as some of those other books. And it's kind of dry. And after all, what does it mean? Oh, so fast becomes a weight. But if you want to grow in faith in Jesus Christ, we need to lay that weight aside. Maybe it isn't a weight in your life. I don't know. But I know for some people it is. Books can be good, but let's make sure they're not a weight that keep us from growing spiritually. Another weight can be too busy of a schedule. Too busy of a schedule. That can be a weight. Yeah, because that could hinder a number of things. It could hinder a number of things of growing spiritually. And you know, I that has been a weight in my life. I'll admit to you, that has been a weight in my life. And I get so busy, and busy with church work even sometimes. And the busier I get, sometimes the less time I spend in prayer. And then things start going backwards. Okay, I understand why. Okay. It can be a weight. Wrong friends. Wrong friends are a weight for a lot of people. It says, lay aside every weight. What about wrong friends? What are wrong friends? Friends are going to be ones that are going to take us away from the truth. Going to discourage us from a closer walk with God. Or even going to be somebody that could keep us from surrendering our heart to God. Those are weights. Let's lay aside that weight. We mentioned technology before. Let me mention that again. What about smartphones? Does that get too practical now? You know what? They can be a weight. Some of you know I don't carry one. You're going to say, well, that's... You can easily say that because you don't have one. Well, that's one reason I don't, because for me, it would tend to be too much of a weight. I'm not saying that they are, but they can be. And I have seen them be weights for a lot of people. Okay? Let's be careful. Because a lot of things... Okay, I'm getting practical. There's a lot of things that can be done on those things that we couldn't do before. Music. Right? No, I don't have those CDs. Years ago, it was tapes. Okay, I don't have that. Oh, no, we just have the music on our phone. What about stories? I hear these old-timey stories. There's some that are okay. But it can be weights, and I've seen them be weights for some people, okay? That's why I feel confident enough to be that practical tonight. Think about it. I don't know. Maybe you're not struggling with these things, and some of these things are nothing wrong within itself. But they can be a weight if they keep you from growing spiritually. So consider that. Are you obtaining a good report of growing in faith in the power of God? I don't know what weight you're struggling with tonight. Maybe you're not, but maybe you are. What weight? Lay aside these weights. Let's go to chapter 10 and verse 38 and 39. Of Hebrews. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. The just shall live by faith. But if you're going to draw back and say, does he really mean that? Is God really able to do that? And we start doubting, we start drawing back. He says, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. That's pretty plain. But that is a warning for us tonight. What kind of weight? You know, if we have any weight in our lives, you know, sometimes we have weights that take a while for them to work off. Okay? I want to be understood tonight. That's why I said before, it would just be so easy, just we'll lay the weights aside. It's all over. No, it takes effort. It takes work sometimes. It takes a lot of prayer and effort. But are we willing to lay it aside? Or do we make room for it? Exceptions for it. But these weights are going to cause us to draw back whether we want to or not. And after a while, God says, I have no pleasure in them. Back to 12, verse 1. Okay, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. Maybe the weight that you have tonight is the weight of sin. Maybe that's what's pressing down on you tonight. Maybe that's what's keeping you from serving Christ with faith. The sin. Maybe it's a sin of rebellion. Maybe it's a sin of whatever it may be. Maybe that's crushing you tonight. But God's call is say, lay that aside. You can be faithful. You can. The witnesses were before us. Not only back then. We have older ones among us even. And in our families. For some of us anyway. That are living a life of faith and trust in God that we can look for as an example. He says, lay aside those weights and the weight of sin, maybe tonight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience, endurance. We don't know how long or short it's going to be. We have no idea. And God doesn't want us to know how long our race is going to be. He says, run with patience, run with endurance, the race that is set before us. People that did that before us, and so can we. And so can we. We look briefly. Maybe we'll just look at it again on some of the things that motivated our witnesses. Okay, Abraham. No, Noah, first of all, he was warned of God. He says, you know what? God says this. I'm warned of God. I don't see things yet. But that motivated him to action. Abraham, he looked for a better city. God had promised a better city. That's what Abraham was looking for. Moses, we already saw that one. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He looked ahead by God's promises. And we notice verse 35, that these people did not accept deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. A better resurrection. Not only a resurrection off the burning stake and giving their life back to him, so to speak. But they looked ahead by God's promise and says, you know, I got a better resurrection coming to where I'm free from all this. And looked ahead and accepted torture. What are we willing to face tonight for the sake of Christ? Sake of the gospel. Chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Think about this race. We lay aside these weights that distracts us. We lay aside the sin that weights us down and we can't run. And you know what? When those things are besetting us, when it's weights or sin that is affecting our lives, it's there, it's weighing us down. We're not going to do verse 2. We're not going to look to Jesus because we're smitten with guilt. What did Adam and Eve do? They hid themselves from the presence of God. Why? Because of the sin in their lives. They don't want to look to Jesus. Here it says, looking unto Jesus. And so when these things are off, We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Author and finisher of our faith. And as we run that race, we can look ahead. Isn't that what Peter's problem was? When he wanted to walk on the water, it was in the midst of the storm, and he said, you know what, Jesus, if that's you, call me, I'm going to come walking on the water to you. Jesus says, come on. So he gets out and he's walking. But what happens? What happens? He takes his eyes off of Jesus and he starts seeing the storm around him. But Peter didn't tell Jesus, you know what, you go ahead and calm the storm first, and then I'm going to come walking on the water. He had faith till he took his eyes off of Jesus. As we walk our faith, and we run this race, brothers and sisters and friends tonight, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's look to Jesus. It says, for who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What was the joy that was set before Christ? Was it that he could go back to his Father in a couple days? Was that the joy that was set before him? No. Let me tell you what the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him was the salvation of you and I. He saw that. He knew that what was coming through. He knew that was that was going to be the result of his surrendering his heart. No, his blood. I mean, giving his blood. The joy that was set before him is that this group of people here tonight can be saved and washed from their sins. And he saw that and he endured the cross. He was such an example to us. And he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What did Christ experience? Oh, the contradiction of sinners against himself. Even his disciples fled from him. And they finally nailed him to the cross. And so it says that we need to consider him. When you think your life is heavy, you think your life is full of trials, consider Jesus. And he saw the joy that was set before him. Our joy is in a different way. We have a reward coming. Not only that, you know, the example that we had of Judith, that she served with joy. She went to her death with joy. And she was on her knees praying. And before she got killed, she was pleading. She was on the way to the old barn where she got killed. She was witnessing to these evil men. They're walking there with their swords, with their sabers and whatever you call that. And she kept preaching the word to them as she was on her way to death. She had recompense unto the reward. Just one of the many examples that happened in Russia way back. Tonight, we can consider Jesus. We can consider Jesus, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So the question this evening is, what kind of witness are we of the power of God? How strong is your faith tonight? Are you obtaining a good report in your life? We can. God is faithful. God is true. God is all-powerful. Do we believe that? So are you and I obtaining a good report tonight? Or are we weighted down with things that are hindering us? Is there sin that is pressing us down and hindering our walk with God? And tonight you have another opportunity. The mercy of God is extended to you tonight again. You have another opportunity to get rid of that weight, that sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. And tonight we want to give you another opportunity. God wants to give you another opportunity to get rid of that weight and that sin so that we can obtain a good report and stand before him. We can look to him with confidence in the day of judgment. Are you willing to come tonight? Are you willing to lay it down and obtain a good report? Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Heavenly Father, tonight you have extended your mercy. You have extended your love to us. You have shown us in your word again of your faithfulness and of your promise. And we see by other human beings, men and women like us tonight, that because of their trust in you, they were faithful. And tonight we can be faithful. But Father, sometimes we have weights in our lives. Sometimes we have sin that's weighing us down and we can't run the race. Tonight, Father, I pray your Spirit would work in our hearts. Lord, move in our hearts. Not only convict us, but give us the courage, Lord, to stand for you. To establish that relationship, restore that relationship with you, Father. You're waiting for us tonight. For anyone here, you know each heart, Father. I don't know any of them except mine. So, Father, speak to us tonight and give us the courage to obtain a good report so we can have confidence to meet you on that appointed day. In Jesus' name, amen.